good.
Amen.
Where's the mic?
You guys hiding it from me now.
If you don't want me to be recorded, just tell me. I appreciate that song. That is a blessing.
Amen.
It's almost impossible to mess that song up. And if it doesn't make your socks roll up and down, there's something wrong with you. That is a wonderful song. In fact, there are so many hymns. I can't wait till we get into that heavenly congregation when we're all singing these songs together, man. That's going to be something else. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, one of the most important chapters in the Bible. I'm going to just read the last verse of it. Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now, doesn't that strike you as just a very interesting statement? That God saw everything that he made, he takes the whole view of it, and says, "That's very good." That's God's evaluation of his own work after he's done and says, "Wow, I really did it this time." Now, I guess we're sort of speculating a little bit about it, but it just seems to me that if God is making this judgment about his work and he says, "It's very good," I think that means something about it that I think we ought to consider. So I've brought out a few points here, and I'm just going to list them in order, and then you can follow along with me. And I don't want to get out of order because I can get very confused sometimes when I'm preaching. So I try to make a little list of notes and try to keep myself in order. But you think about this the way I think about it. Number one, God did it.
Amen.
A lot of people aren't really aware of that, but that's the first thing you get away from this. God did this.
Right,
and number two, God did it well.
Amen.
I mean, this is not a half-cocked project. This is God figuring things out and doing a good job of it. Six times before this time, he says, "It's good." He says, "It's good." He looked at that and said, "Well, that's good." And he looks at this other thing, "Well, that's good too." And he gets down and he sees the whole thing, says, "It's very good." Yeah, God did a good job of it. Number three, God was proud of it. God thought this was special. Why would he say it's very good? Why don't you say good? I mean, you got to compare it to something, right? He says, "I'm proud of this." Not that bad kind of pride that you and me have, but that good kind of pride, that sharing enthusiasm kind of pride, saying, "Wow, this is good." God was proud of what he had done. And number four, God deserves the benefit of it. You reckon God might deserve something for it?
Amen.
You're living in it. You're part of it. You reckon God deserves anything? I say God deserves, first of all, awareness. I think, second of all, he deserves acknowledgement. Third, I think he deserves appreciation. Fourth, I think he deserves agreement. And fifth, I think he deserves adoration.
Amen.
Amen.
I think that can be proven this morning. Number one, God did it.
Amen.
Now I know there's this anti-Christian cult, this bias against belief, this bias against the idea of God that goes around now thinking things can just happen. They have this idea that it's inevitable, that everything will happen given enough time. It's an absurd concoction. It's an ideological fixation that modern people have that makes them unable to just even appreciate the value of something they're seeing in front of their eyes. And they have to ignore what is obvious because they are fixated. They're in a cult where they have to disagree with anything that has to do with faith. They've got to disagree with the Bible and disagree with Christianity, disagree with the gospel, disagree with everything like that, because they are fixated on this idea that stuff can just happen. But I've got news for you. Stuff doesn't just happen.
Amen.
I remember watching that show, Jurassic Park. It was an interesting show. I enjoyed that. It was nice to see their CGI, what do you call it, dinosaurs. They were made up dinosaurs, and the whole idea was kind of funny, whatever. But I just heard that one statement by that one guy. He says, life finds a way.
Yeah.
Life finds a way. No! Nothing finds a way! Nothing just happens! There's no such thing as stuff just happening. Universes don't just pop into existence.
Amen.
Come on, you know better than that. I mean, you were taught better than that even in school. Stuff doesn't just happen. It's an ideological fixation where you think that all of this could have just happened without God. No! For example, let me tell you something. Transcendence is inevitable. There has to be transcendence, meaning something's outside of this. It's not just all in here. You are so narrow in your thinking that you think everything is right here. This is all of it. No, outside of it is something.
Amen.
Otherwise, what would make laws of physics work? I get into little disputes with my chatbot. I have this program on my phone that's chat, GPT, whatever it is, supposedly artificial intelligence. And I ask it questions every so often. And then I reply and say, no, I don't agree, and say, you know, why I don't agree. And then it comes back and says, well, that's a good point, and then tries to make another. Because we have these arguments, and I'm telling you, it is a very interesting thing how this thing tries to think things through, but eventually it comes out having to say, well, you make some good points. That's artificial intelligence. What we witness all the time is natural stupidity.
Amen.
Artificial intelligence has something to say for it. Natural stupidity is when you see something as obvious as the nose on your face and you deny it exists. You deny it exists. By the way, folks, there is not one scientific fact ever discovered that points away from God. Every single thing points to the fact of a creator. This is baby steps. Now, maybe you're a really smart person. Too smart for your own good, probably. But you're a very smart person, and you think you can imagine, because you have a wild imagination, and you can just imagine how something might could have just happened given enough time. But stop and think about it just for a moment, and stop being absurd. Stop being ideologically fixated on this non-belief stuff, and just recognize that if you think something came from nothing, you have a bigger step of faith than any Christian ever had. You think something came from nothing, and listen, I'm not talking about empty space. Empty space is not nothing. Empty space is something. I'm talking about a universe happening from nothing. Nothing. How long would it take for nothing to produce something? You see how absurd people can get?
Yeah.
But this is what they're depending on. This is what they're banking on for their eternity. Banking on being right about there's no God.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you what is obvious, and you probably knew it when you were a kid and had to be educated out of it. But God did it.
Amen.
This is intuitively true, and as soon as I say it, it rings true in your mind. It rings true in your mind. God did this. And especially when you look at it and you think, no, this is not accidental. I asked my chatbot yesterday, I asked it, what is unique about the earth? And boy, it listed off 7 or 8, maybe 9 things that make the earth unique among planets. And it was pretty interesting. I can't give you all the answers, but I'll just give you some of them. This planet has water.
Yeah.
Lots of water. Like 3/4 of the globe covered with water. And they can't find that kind of water anywhere else in the world, in the universe, in the solar system, in the galaxy. They can't find it. There's no planets like that. That this planet has life. not just life, but a lot of life and all kinds of life and so much variety of life that it's just incredible. Different families, different kingdoms, different domains, different types of life. It's an amazing thing, and they can't find life anywhere else. You guys remember back in the 90s, I believe it was, that they discovered a meteorite from Mars and said it had fossils of life on it. This was a big headache. It was a big headline. They said, we found evidence of life on Mars. Turns out it wasn't true. Didn't happen. But I remember when they asked me about that, what about that? And I said, well, if there's life on Mars, God did it.
Amen.
Because life doesn't just happen. Show me anywhere where life just happens. Life doesn't happen. Spontaneous generation debunked years and years ago. A century ago it was debunked. Life never just happens. Maggots don't just form out of dead meat. No. Life produced that. Nothing just happens. This is just an absurd concept. Why in the world would you not go immediately to the knowledge that God did this? You just open your eyes and look. God did it. In fact, you ought to be every single day recognizing God did it. I used to tell my little kid, we go out there, we see the moon, say, God made the moon. And God made me. God blessed the moon and God blessed me.
Amen.
Right? God made the moon. You look at the moon. God did that. Come on. Our atmosphere is nitrogen and oxygen. And it's in such a relationship, such a perfect combination, a perfect ratio, that we don't have spontaneous combustion all the time. And yet we can live in an atmosphere. And by the way, oxygen and nitrogen are transparent. Almost all the other gases are not, but those two gases we can actually see. I can see you because it's oxygen and nitrogen. These things are very unique in the universe. You can't find hardly any other. What makes the Earth unique? What? Magnetism. Did you know that the Earth is strongly magnetic? And you know what that does is it protects us from all the rays that are outside of the Earth. And this magnetism creates a tremendous protective barrier all around the globe. Plate tectonics, it's recycling elements all the time, constantly bringing up. That's why you have gold rings. Because you can find gold. Why? Because of plate tectonics. And you don't find that on very many planets. It's almost unheard of. Our distance from the sun, did you know the tilt of the Earth is absolutely imperative for you to exist? Yeah, because otherwise it would all be the same. It'd always be the same. So you'd have extremely freezing areas and extremely hot areas and almost no place to survive, no place to live. This is perfect. And did you know that we are surrounded by huge planets that just suck up all the stuff coming from outer space, keeping Earth stable and protected?
Amen.
Did you know we have a huge moon compared to other... I mean, our moon is about 1/6 the size of the Earth. And there's no other planetary joint. There's nothing like that. There's no joining like that in any other planet. You don't find it that way. I find a whole bunch of small moons. But this idea, it's almost a double planet rotating. And it's absolutely imperative for the experience you have as life here on Earth. And the fact that we have a stable and calm sun. You realize that nearly all stars are very unstable and very uncalm. They are explosive. They have solar flares that go out. Even the ones that are the same size as our sun is extraordinarily calm. Why can't you just pause for a moment and meditate and say, God did that.
Amen.
God did this. And I'm only scratching the surface, folks. There's an awful lot of other things that ought to be brought up and let you know that this is something God did. I've said it I don't know how many times. How is it that the sun and the moon are exactly the same size in our sky, causing periodic eclipses, which gives us incredible insight into the past, into the calendar, and into space? We can see things that nobody else can in the universe because of our sun and our moon being exactly the same size in the sky. There are so many other examples of this. I will not go into it any farther. I think it's as clear as it can be, as clear as the nose on your face. God did this.
Amen.
God built this earth. God built the heavens. God built our solar system. It's all part of an amazing design. It's all exactly like it had to be. And it's an incredible experience for us because we wake up in the morning and we see what we see and we have to say, God did this. God did it and He did it well. There is such a regular Goldilocks effect in our world. Goldilocks meaning not too much, not too little. It's a regular thing. You find it all the time. You have just enough of this, but not too much of that, and just enough of this, and not too much of that. And it's so constantly balanced. Everything has to be that way for us to have the experience that we have. All right, so why don't you just admit it? God did it. God did it. God claims to have done it.
Amen.
God said, I did that. You ever seen those things at the gas station that says, Biden says, I did that? Y'all seen that? I saw him just the other day. Biden's picture on the gas pump, and he has his finger pointing, and it says, I did that. Well, that's God everywhere. I know you see God everywhere. He says, I did that. I did that, and I did that, and I did that. God saying, I did that. I think it's true. I think it's right. Another point to be made is that God did it well.
Yes. Amen.
It's extraordinary. I mean, first of all, consider how when you try to build something, your first try, I almost never do I build something well the first time. But if I've done it like 5 or 10 times or maybe 20 times, I get pretty good at it. You get pretty good at it. And then after you get good at it, you got something to compare it to. And you got to say, look, this time we did it really good. And that's what I sort of think that God is saying when he says, it's very good.
Amen.
It almost makes me think he's done this before. Now I'm speculating. I know the Bible doesn't say that, but I look out in the universe and I think, I wonder how many times God's done this. You'd never know because you can't see that far. We can't tell what's out there. And forget about all this searching for extraterrestrial life, whatever. Folks, we're talking about light years away. If we send a radio transmission out there, it's going to take 25 billion years for it to get there. Come on. You're not going to meet them. You're not going to find them. You're not going to get a response. People are just being absurd. But look what he did here. He says, he gets all to the end of it and he says, hey, this is really good. This one is really good. Every so often I do that to my wife. I say, hey, honey, look what I did. I did it really good. And she looks at it and she said, oh, that's really good, Billy. That's really good. And that just makes my day. Right? Well, God did a good job here. He did a good job on you.
Amen.
He did a good job when he made marriage. He did a good job when he made bananas. Man, you can't get any easier than eating a banana. He did a good job when he made watermelon.
Amen.
He did a good job when he made you. He did a good job when he made this earth. He did a good thing. It was an amazing thing. Have you ever considered color? Color. I see some of the colors in here. It's amazing because color is not natural. It's not normal. In fact, color doesn't exist except in your mind. Oh, and there's a huge debate on this. They call it qualia and all that stuff, And you can get into that and waste your time thinking you're intelligent. And you realize after a while, look, people are just bandying about their knowledge and trying to one up on each other. I got to tell you something. Color is just contrived in your mind because the difference in the frequency between one color and another is almost nothing. It is so fine, so minute. It's like 1/1,000,000th of the possibles. 1/1,000,000th, and that contains all the colors in our rainbow. And the only reason why you can see color is because God put different sensors in your retina and a brain that knows how to decipher them so that it comes up into your mind like color. And boy, you can tell the difference between blue and red. You can tell the difference, and yet the difference between those wavelengths is almost nothing. And they are exactly the same substance. It's electromagnetic radiation with just a slight difference in the wavelength. And because you have sensors in your retina that only figure out one of those little bitty sections of wavelength and can distinguish between one and another, that it comes up into your mind as color. You know what I have to say? God did that.
Amen.
That's just not natural. That's not normal. That's not just, that doesn't make any sense. God had to make color so that you could see color. And God did it. And I gotta say, boy, Lord, you did it well.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, he didn't do it fair. It's not fair. Folks, God's creation was not about fair. He was not trying to make things fair. Did you know that women see 10 times more colors than men? My wife says, yes, that's true. You can't see color. She's always arguing with me. I say it's blue. She says, that's not blue. That's fuchsia. Or I don't know what she says. She says some other name. Now, what is fair about women being able to see 10 times as many colors as me? That ain't fair. They say there are some women that can see 100 times more colors than me.
Yep.
What? You know, did you realize that God did that?
Amen.
God did it, and you gotta say, God, you really did a job on that one. This one's excellent. This one is amazing. What you did here is amazing. And the tastes and the smells, did you know that smell, we think of 5 senses, right? We think of 5 senses, but you also have a sense of balance. And did you realize that the regular 5 senses that we have are really not simple senses? Did you know that your olfactory sense, your sense of smell, requires a different type of sensor for every single molecule you can smell? And you have thousands of different smelling sensors in your nose. And dogs have 150 times as much as you've got. You would not be able to smell what you smell unless God had put a specific sensor in your nose so that you could pick up on it. And every one of those sensors are different. And none of those sensors are multi-purpose. None of those olfactory sensors can smell a different molecule. They all single out one molecule and detect it. And when they detect it, you've smelled it. That's the sense of smell. Hey folks, let me tell you something. God didn't have to do that. But that's why your food tastes good.
Yeah, amen.
That's why have you ever seen those experiments where they give somebody, they close their nose, they blindfold them and close their nose, and they give them an onion to bite down into, and they tell them it's an apple, and they can't tell. Isn't that strange? Well, God could have made all of your food like that. You're eating onions and you think it's apples. But God didn't do that because he says, I want you to have a good time. I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to know what stuff tastes like. I want you to enjoy. I want you to have a great experience. And who here can say, no, I've not had any of those good experiences. I don't know what it's like. I mean, you got to be, you have no sense of smell. You have no sense of taste and you're colorblind. For you to have no sense of the wonder of what God did here, can't you just admit that God did a really good job here? Man, have you ever seen a sunrise? Or for some of you, have you ever seen a sunset? That's pretty amazing. That's some pretty amazing stuff. Have you ever seen, one time Deb and I got broke down on the side of the road. That happened a lot more, in our earlier years, but we got broke down on the side of the road and it was a rainstorm coming up and we just were laying there sitting there in our car looking back up through the windshield and the lightning starts going across the sky. Little finger streaks of lightning going across the sky, crossing sometimes, and we just watched that show, I guess for 30 minutes or an hour, just watched that lightning go across there, and I'm thinking, wow, God did that. God made that happen. This is an amazing thing. There are so many amazing things about our experience in life that we have to say, God, you really did do a good job. You know, when God sat back and said, hey, it's very good. This is very good. I gotta say, God, you know, you're right. This one is very good. I don't know what all his other worlds are like out there. I don't know how those things are. But when he came to earth and he made this one, I'm telling you, he did a really good job. He did a really good job. Amazing experiences. Transparent meanings behind everything that's done. He made it in 6 days. You reckon that has some meaning? I think it does. He tells us that marriage itself has meaning. He tells us what these things mean. And I'm telling you, people can figure out what they mean. It's not meaningless. What a nonsense philosophy to think it's all meaningless. Man, you got reason. You can reason things out. You know there's meaning here. You know God has a purpose. You know God has something he's doing. And he looks at it and he says, I did it and I did a good job. Number three, God was proud of it. Now you and me, when we get proud, we get kind of selfish. It's all a self-serving pride. I'm better than you. No, notice. And I want all the credit and everybody look at me. But no, this is God has such enthusiasm that he wants to share it. That's the way he says. He says, look, this one's good. Look, this one's good. I want you to see it. I don't know. Have you ever done that? You saw something that was so amazing you had to call somebody to show it to them? Hey, look, come here, come look. That happens to me ever so often. My mother-in-law says, there's deer, come look at the deer. I've seen deer before, but she's excited about it. She wants people to see the deer. Yeah, got deer. No, I don't shoot them. We just look at them. God was proud of it. He wanted others to share his enthusiasm. God says, this one's good. He had to be comparing it to something. He says, this one's very good. Hey, this one's special. God says, what I've done here is special. I want you to notice just how special it is. Look at this. Look what I did. Hey, did you see? I did this and I did that and I put this together and I compared these and look what I did. This is amazing. This is God talking. God saw that what he had done. He looked over everything and he says, this one is very good.
Amen.
Very good. Woo, man, this one's really something special. I want you to think about God being proud of this place and then watch it ruined. Watch it ruined by people who have no sense of appreciation for it. Watch it ruined by people who think it was just a big cosmic accident. And they can do anything they want to with it. Watch it ruined by selfish people wanting the temporal power and pleasures and dominance. How is it that people have ruined what God did? Something that he called very good, and now we look at it and think, boy, this is barely good at all. You look at the war and have you seen the pictures of Ukraine? Eastern Ukraine? The place is destroyed. Have you seen the pictures of Gaza? You know why these are happening? Because of sin. Sin. People are full of sin. They want to kill other people. They hate other people. They don't want to be reasonable. They don't see things the way God sees them. Sin. Sin gets in the way. Have you heard the message this morning about how many children are raised in single homes? You know why? Because people have ruined what God did. God made marriage. That is an amazing thing. Just the idea of marriage. That's an amazing thing. Something where the sexual bond becomes so strong that it should provide a home for children, and not just for children, but all the way till their grandparents and great-grandparents, so that a child's family, he knows them all. Oh, you see, that would have been good, but people ruin it. People ruin it. And people want the pleasure of sex without any of the responsibility, and they procreate children and then abandon them. Or worse, they kill them. They kill them. You ever see in the newspaper, says some little girl went missing and they find her body a little while later? Don't that just make you sick? Doesn't it make you sick? After God says, look what I did, this is very good, and he's so proud of it, and then look what people have done to it. Look what people are doing to it right now. And I'm not talking about pollution. I'm talking about human pollution. I'm talking about the way people think and the way people act and the way people treat each other. I mean, people have ruined it. They've ruined what God did. God did something very good, and God was proud of it. Think about it. God was proud of it, and you spit on it. You've hated it from the time he did it. Ever since you were born, you've come up thinking only about self and doing only what you feel is good, and who cares whether God gets anything from it. It's because God says it's very good and then you ruined it. What would keep God from being angry? How is it possible that God doesn't just destroy us all? And all the whole Bible from that chapter on, we just read the end of chapter 1. Start from that chapter forward and you find all that God has done to try to recover what he lost after he made it very good. God trying to recover all that we have messed it up with. And think about your sin. Don't focus too much on somebody else's sin. Think about your sin, how you have disrespected God's wonderful, great thing that he did. Something that he considers truly amazing. How many times have you lusted what you shouldn't have lusted after? How many times have you treated other people like you should not? You know you should not have treated them that way. How many times have you lived in selfishness and self-centeredness and pride and lifting yourself up at the expense of others? How many times have you said the wrong thing, said the mean thing, said the polluted thing, said the corrupt thing? How many times have you worshiped something that was not God?
Right.
It's God. He did something good. He said, it's very good. Look at it. It's very good. And look what you've done to it. Have you ever built a sandcastle that you were proud of? I built one. We were at a family reunion down at the coast. And I'd spent most of the day building this sandcastle of a broken ship. And the ship's up there and it's broken. And it was actually pretty, I was pretty proud of it. It's pretty good. A little while later, a man comes running over to me and says, you can't believe it. That little kid right over there went over there and stomped on your sandcastle. For no reason, just went up and stomped on it. I didn't go shoot the kid or anything. I said, well, it was a sandcastle. But you know, that's pretty lousy. That's pretty lousy. When you go down, have you seen those sandcastle competitions they have down at Port Aransas? Some pretty amazing things. What do you think about somebody just goes in there and just starts knocking things down, just tearing things up? You think, well, that's pretty lousy. What kind of people are those? Well, they're just like you and me with God's creation, what God did. God makes marriage and you ruin it.
Right.
I mean, you want to step out on your wife. You want something for selfish reasons. You do things that are exactly wrong. You just destroy everything. And it's not just that. It's all kinds of things. You do it in your business. You do it in your work. You're working for a boss and you don't treat them right. You all kinds of things. And God says, man, I had this. It was good. I bet you God can remember to this day how proud he felt that moment. He says, it's all done. It's good. Look at this. I did a good job. And now he has to look at it and he's grieved in his spirit. He's grieved. He says, this is not at all what I had envisioned. This is not what I wanted. No. When you damage something that good, very good, when you're part of the problem that has ruined what God did that was good, it has to hurt him. And it justifiably makes him angry. And he would be justified to say, I'm wiping out all of you. You messed it up. I did something good. I was so proud of it. And look what you've done. Number four, God deserves the benefit. Whatever benefit there is. And I don't know exactly what great benefit there is in making a world with a bunch of creatures in it and just looking at it. But whatever benefit he was going to get from it, he deserves it.
Amen.
I say he deserves it.
Amen.
I say God deserves the benefit of what he did. I mean, listen, you see a movie and they'll spend 10 minutes at the end of the movie giving credits.
Yeah.
Credits. Why? Because people want to, they deserve the benefit of what they did. I mean, I'm the guy who held the microphone. Put my name on there. Don't leave my name off. Put my name on there. Have you noticed in newscasts, you'll have this reporter out there and the wind's blowing the face and he's in the hurricane, whatever. And at the end, they got to tell his name. This is Nicholas Pena and I'm reporting from Port Aransas. What do you have your name on there? Why do we need to know your name? Or the anchor will say, yeah, that was Nicholas Pena. Thank you, Nicholas. Why do we have to know the name? His name is not important. He's not even part of the story. I'll tell you why it's important. It's about credit. It's about giving credit where credit is due. You go stealing a song, they'll sue you. You can't steal a song and say you wrote it when somebody else wrote it. You can't do that. People do it all the time, but you're not supposed to, because people deserve the credit. All this piracy, they're all upset about piracy because people are downloading music and passing it around, and they're not getting, they're not, people that did it aren't getting paid. They're not getting what's theirs. It's not fair. It's not right. And they argue about it. Yeah, I can see that. Well, what about God? You reckon God deserves a little bit of the credit?
Amen.
You think God might deserve some of the benefit?
Amen.
Seems to me. So what do we owe God for it? I say, first of all, awareness. Hey, wake up and stop it with the nonsense. Nothing comes from nothing. This did not just happen. God did it! Be aware. Wake up. Don't sit there and marvel at the wonder of the universe and think that it's just an accident. That is stupid. Be aware that God did this.
Amen.
This is an action of some intelligent being that is way smarter and way powerful, more powerful than us. So God deserves you to be aware of who did it. He did it. He claims to have done it. He says, I did it. Notice. Just wake up and notice. God did it. It wouldn't hurt you at all to say, wow, God, you did that.
Amen.
And how about acknowledgement? Just give him the credit. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. You reckon God wants to just be mentioned?
Yeah.
It was God. Now, you know, people nowadays in professors in college and science classes and people online and in your PBS station talking about nature and all these people give, they will never give God the credit. They just completely ignore God complete as if God had nothing to do with it. You reckon down at the end of those credits, they should at the very end say, and thanks above all to God for making all this at the beginning.
Amen.
I mean, they say, well, we had the guy who held the microphone, we had the guy who held the cameras, we had a bunch of them, we had the people who brought us coffee. Well, what about at the end, say, and thank you, God, for doing it? Because God deserves a little bit of acknowledgement. Like, yeah, Lord, thank you, that's something else. That's amazing. I think a little bit of acknowledgement on your part ever so often just ought to lift up your heart and say, wow, God, thank you. You get a good show of lightning, just say, God, thank you. That's something else. That's where I get to the third one, appreciation. What about being thankful? What about just saying, God, thanks? Like you bite down into your fruit or whatever you're eating. I don't know what you like, blueberries or raspberries or I don't know, but you bite down into it. And it tastes good, you say, God, thank you. If it tastes sour, oh, good grief. You need to wait a little longer before you pick that. Give God some thanks. How about, even if you don't give God thanks every time you turn around, how about just being thankful? How about just complaining a little less? Don't you think God deserves to hear people's thankfulness? Just being appreciative of God's life that God gave you. God gave it to you. He didn't owe it to you. You're not your own idea. You didn't come up with yourself. God did it. God deserves a little bit of appreciation. I think our prayers ought to be more thankful.
Amen.
I think. And I think agreement. You know what I mean when I say agreement? I mean, you need to say, yeah, God, I agree with what you decided. I mean, if God made you a boy, agree.
Amen.
I agree with you, Lord. Thank you for making me a boy. Don't sit there and believe these nonsense. These people spouting nonsense about how you feel is what's important. No, how you feel is not what's important. What's important is what God decided. And God said, just agree with me. If God says homosexuality is wrong, agree. Hey, just agree. Just say, God, you're right. You're right. I've been sinning. I'm sorry. Hey, this is the first step to salvation. Agree with God. Just say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. God, you're right. Agreement. How about seeking His will? How about understanding His will? It's not that difficult. It's not far from any one of you. You can find out His will. You can understand His will. And then you can agree with His will.
Amen.
You don't even really need a PhD in the Bible to know His will. You can sometimes just look at things critically. Just pay a little bit of attention to stuff and you'll realize what God's will is. Now we know what God's will is. And number five, adoration. God deserves some adoration. You know why we come here on Sunday mornings? Because we want to express a little bit of adoration.
Amen.
We want to express a little bit of praise to God. I think He deserves it. Now we call that worship, and that's fine. That's what it is. It's worship because we worship God and God deserves to be worshiped. I'm telling you, God deserves worship. You think one day a week is too hard, too much? I've had people say it, that's just too much. And three times a week? Oh man, that'll kill you. I don't think three times a week is too much to worship God.
Amen.
In fact, I think it ought to be even more than that. I think we ought to be worshiping God all the time. I think worship ought to be part of our daily experience. Obviously, adoration of God. And by the way, not adoration of anybody else.
Amen.
Don't be worshiping Mary. She didn't build it. She didn't make it. She didn't save you. She didn't die for you. She didn't do anything for you.
Amen.
Only God did all this stuff for you. God did it. Stop praising other people.
Amen.
Start praising God. Think about it. It's God that did it and He deserves to be worshiped.
Amen.
And don't be so stuck up in your worship. Like you can't handle that person shouting hallelujah. Come on. Get over it, man. You ought to be jumping up shouting hallelujah yourself ever so often. Just let go sometimes when you're singing. Let go and say, God, you're worthy of being worshiped. You hear a song like you heard this morning on It Is Well With My Soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Hey, you ought to be excited about worshiping God because He did it. And He was proud of it. And everything He's done since then is in order to salvage something from it. And that's us. That's where we come in. We've been salvaged by God because He was proud of what He did. God's gonna save it. He's gonna save it. He saves us. He's gonna save it. He's gonna make it as valuable as it was gonna be, cause God did not get defeated. But let me tell you something, God did it and He deserves the benefit of it. He deserves us to worship Him for it. And if you don't know this God, you can know Him.
Amen.
He has a right to be angry, but instead of being angry, He sent Jesus Christ to the cross to pay for your sin so that He can rescue you from the destruction that's coming. And your sin can be defeated. It's been defeated by Jesus on the cross. And if you give yourself to Him, He'll give you eternal life. And you can worship Him in absolute freedom, having an offering acceptable to God by what Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
He deserves the benefit of it. We ought to give it to Him.
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord. Thank you for today, God. It's a wonderful day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us about it. Thank you for doing all this, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you as a Savior, oh God, call them to yourself. Don't let them have any rest until they know you as a Savior. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come back tonight at 7:00 for the Lord's Supper.
Amen.